Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, guy sitting in front of me is responsible for giving us, well, giving us a lot of laughs lately. Frankie McNamara from Meditations for the Anxious Mind. Welcome to the show. How's it going? You well?
Thanks very much for having me, Jennifer.
It's
I appreciate it.
Listen, it's lovely to finally meet you. You're doing so well.
I'd imagine.
You're doing really well. We'll get to that in a second. We were talking off air. This isn't your first time in RTE, is it?
No. I came here when I was 16 years old. I did work experience here. Now, I wasn't working. I was just looking at people work. I was actually sitting in on the RTE news. I was in the control room, obviously, not in front of the teleprompter.
How was that?
Well, I started getting nervous laughter. Nobody else laughed. So the more I laughed, the more awkward it got. But I've always been like that. I'm the type of person who's laughed at funerals. You know, I've been always like that. And then I saw you were on Republic Italia, I'm sure you know. I went and sat in on a taping of that back in 2011. And funny enough, my twin brother was there as well, Quincy. And he was a massive fan of Ed Sheeran. And Ed Sheeran was on the Late Late that day. I might have got the days mixed up. But anyway, Ed Sheeran was there.
He was knocking around.
Yeah, he was knocking around. And I didn't know who he was. But Quincy, the door was open. He goes, "Oh my God, that's Ed Sheeran." And I didn't know. I just thought it was some fellow with red hair. What happened was, he was so nice, which makes me feel so bad about hating his music. Because he was so nice, but it doesn't change the fact that he's like a culturally appropriated Galway.
This is true.
Yeah.
That brings us to how you've become so popular online, because you do these kind of sketches, meditate. You talk about places. In particular, you talk about Galway. Mm. And this is one of my favourite ones. I have a little clip. Will we play a clip?
Speaking of culturally appropriating Galway, let's run the clip.
Today, I'd like to reveal the ancient mysteries of Galway. Galway was invented by Supermax back in the 80s. Galwegians are genetically encoded to view Supermax as their primary caregiver because people from Galway don't have parents. They just have immature adults who made a drunken mistake during Rag Week. Galwegians always seem to brag about Supermax as if they built it themselves. Whenever Galwegians leave Galway, they don't know what to do with themselves, swiftly congregating to the nearest Supermax at the end of a night out for safety and warmth. There's a small minority of Galway natives who secretly think Supermax is disgusting, but you'll never hear from them because Galway made sure they were silenced on the street, usually outside Supermax at 3 a.m. with a drunken flurry of flying fist.
Now, Frankie, I have to say, we're all laughing, but it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Galway fella, Mr. McDonough, is it? Who owns Supermax? Is he laughing?
Well, it's good PR.
I hope he is.
I mean, it's like a free
ad. He seems
like
a good crack.
I think you have to have, yeah. You have to be. But it's not just, you don't spare any place. You focus on Dublin and Clontarf. I hope Lottie Ryan has listened to this. Let's have a listen to what you said about Clontarf. Okay.
Today, we'd like to talk about Clontarf. The Clontarf moms are all extensions of the same person. A blonde-haired hot yoga mom with a white fluffy dog. Clontarf moms are only allowed to talk about four topics: their children, their husbands, their holidays, and themselves. If you try to have a deep, meaningful conversation with a Clontarf mom, their eyes gloss over and turn black, and you can make out the outline of the words "get out". It's believed if you scratch the surface of a Clontarf mom, you'll find a wounded woman who was outpriced from hope.
Again, true.
Mm.
It's all
true. Well, I've never. I can be factually incorrect, but I've never been not true.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between being true and being wrong, you know, and I said it, so it must be true. It's also, like, I know you're from Balldoyle.
I am, yeah.
Well, allegedly, you know, but I think, like, I have this theory, right, that Balldoyle, like, so my book is coming out, A Toxic Travel Guide, like you said, and it's out on Thursday. And if you look through that, if you have a route through that and you go through the Dublin section, you'll notice Balldoyle isn't in it, because my whole thing is, like, Balldoyle's not real. It's not a real place. Like, it's just... And if we want to play that game and pretend that Baldoyle is real, like, because I can play that game if you want.
I'm pretty sure it's real. I mean, I went to school there.
Yeah.
I was brought up there, you know. I know it's kind of the gateway to.
But like
hope,
everyone who talks about Baldoyle now works in RTE, so I think it's like a kind of figment of the media, you know, like the fourth branch. I suppose like with Baldoyle, like if we were to let's argue Baldoyle's real. Okay, so the only thing you can say about it is like, so it's a coastal town. So everyone always has a bad hair day due to the gale force winds. A taste of sea salt in their mouth. And like Baldoyle is, you know, like say Baldoyle's that girl at the barbecue who has like pigtails and she eats undercooked chicken, but she's too embarrassed to say it to anyone in case Holt and Malahide slag her off.
This is true. Well, you know? True again, but factually incorrect.
Yeah.
I hear you. And that's what this book, I mean, the cover is amazing.
Yeah.
I have it
thank
in front
you.
Of me. It's deadly.
Yeah.
You're like this guru.
Yeah.
On the cover.
So that's how, it's funny you mention that. That's how it started off. With Meditations for the Anxious Mind, the name. So I started off listening to Meditations myself. And what would happen is I'd just start thinking, I'd listen to them on YouTube and they'd say, open the door, go to the box and lift up the rock and all that stuff. And I go, like, these people sound like they're actually just horrible people in real life because no one really talks like that. Like, who do you know who talks like that who's not on a Netflix documentary?
No one.
You know?
True.
Yeah.
Did it all kick off with the Aldi one?
So with the Aldi one, it kicked off with Kimmage, actually.
Right.
Kimmage is what put me on the map, so to speak. That was where it went. And I nearly didn't put it up because I was like, this is too weird. No one's going to be able to relate to it. It's just an opinion I had since I was like 12 because I played the Irish edition of Monopoly. And I was like, Kimmage, what is Kimmage? And why is it the brown? You know, Kimmage was the brown colour. And it just didn't make any sense to me because, first of all, they were really harsh to Kimmage because they made it like the cheapest place you can go, which I thought was unfair because, you know, nobody's heard of it before and I don't think they really treated Kimmage fairly.
But for a listen, because we're a national station, in case you didn't know that, right? So
yes.
We've listeners all over the place, not just in Dublin. If you don't know what Kimmage is, we played the Aldi one because we all know Aldi.
We all know Aldi.
We all know Aldi. Let's have a listen to this one, what Frankie has to say about Aldi. Brace yourself.
I'd like to talk about the Middle Oil in Aldi. The Middle Oil is a unique galaxy of consumerism. It's awash with crumpled up shopping lists and second thoughts. Consumers abandon themselves to the promise of a better life in their non-essential dreams. The Middle Oil makes you forget that your life is falling apart. They've got fruit blenders in here. The Middle Oil has a dark cosmic pull to its energy field. Many people have left their job, their partners and abandoned their entire family just to go live in the Middle Oil. Why have love or a deeper sense of meaning in your life when you can have a bread maker?
There we go, Aldi.
Yeah.
Sorry, we were chatting off air there.
I actually worked in Aldi, believe it or not, for 6 weeks during the pandemic.
Good experience?
Did
it ground you?
Well, those are your words. I was in there for 6 weeks and they put me in the early shift and they kept putting me on fruit and veg. And the fella who was the manager, he was a nice guy, but he was like, he thought he was a psychologist. And I was like, here, look, I'm doing this as quick as I can. I can't do it any quicker because he'd time me. And he was like, no, you're just telling yourself you can't do it any quicker. Like he was trying to like psychoanalyze me or something. And I was like, oh yeah, sorry, no, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, it's definitely that. So I quit, but not because of that. I just quit because I was I'm not a worker bee.
Okay.
I do
what
things. I'm self centered, so I only do things that I like doing, and I get obsessed with them.
Speaking of which, not only do you have a book, not only are you popular online, you're a full time student doing sociology and psychology in Maynooth.
Yeah. So
I
just go around
recently.
Just to get noticed.
Do you?
Yeah. I barely go in.
I was down recently. I was down on OB. We were doing the radio show from down there. It's a great little spot.
It's not, and they're really good crack there as well. I've noticed that because I've been doing college student videos. So I've been to NCID. They were so nice and they were good crack as well. I went to Maynooth, went to Trinity, UCD and DCU. So I've done a few colleges and...
Who were the best crack?
Maynooth, yeah. I think. But no disrespect. Everyone else had their moments. There was this really funny girl in Trinity who, I can't even remember what she was saying now off the top of my head, but she was talking about how she's psychic and she can see beyond the realm, and you know, she was good crack, yeah. So you get little pockets everywhere, but I'm the star.
You are.
Yeah,
you
thank
are.
You.
You are. Your book is amazing. Any plans for a TV version of this?
Well, I'm in talks at the moment, but I can't say too much because I'm currently just talking to myself. But it's nice to do that, you know. And speaking of talking to myself, God, I'm a master at segues, am I?
Unbelievable.
I have an audiobook version of the book, and I spoke to myself. I talked, like, so imagine this room, right? And imagine you're not in it. And that was like what my audiobook recording was like, because I was just in there for 3 days talking to myself, and I had the best time of my life because just no one had interrupted me. And I was actually in a lovely studio out in, I can't remember the name, Rathgar. Yeah, studio. Oh my God, I'm going blank on the name, but she was so nice. I'll say it on my story later.
So are you one of those people, do you like your own company?
Yes, yeah. I like my own company, but I'm social as well. Like I don't like using too many of those terms, but like I'd be introverted and extroverted as well. Mostly extroverted, really. Yeah, but I get drained sometimes when I'm around people for too long. You know.
I hear you.
Yeah.
You must be loving this course you're doing in Maynooth.
Yeah.
Does that feed into what you're doing as well? They kind of go hand in hand, right?
Oh, big time. Yeah, absolutely. Like I find, especially with sociology, it's kind of like thinking about things from that perspective, it's kind of opened my eyes a lot more to a wider context when I'm writing. And what I try to do, it really changed my writing altogether, because I try to take familiar things and make them weird and unfamiliar. And that's kind of, that was the task I kind of set myself without really knowing it. So now I just have a book full of weird things and unfamiliar things.
If you are into weird things, go and check it out. It's Meditations for the Anxious Mind, the Toxic Travel Guide. It looks, it'd be a nice little stocking filler, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Christmas
and if you, if you go searching for it in any of the bookstores, make sure you say the author name, Frankie McNamara, because apparently when you say I actually have to talk to them. But I think if you put in Meditations for the Anxious Mind, it might not come up. So just a little...
But to just give people a little taster, you've prepared a meditation for us
here
on the show.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to interrupt you because I know you hate that. I am going to play some meditation.
You've been doing great so far.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm working really hard.
Yeah.
Stiffing,
yeah.
Shutting the F up. So I'm going to play this meditation music, and Frankie McNamara, take it away. Here we go.
Thank you. Welcome to the present moment. The moment. Present. Present. Christmas present. Your mom will only buy you gift vouchers because last time she gave you money, you used it to buy weapons. Christmas weapons. Before we begin, remind yourself that this time is for you and you alone. Allow no distractions, no worries, and no to-do lists to interfere with your distractions, worries, and to-do lists. Take a moment to make yourself comfortable where you are. Wipe the piss off your tapered trouser leg. Time to put on a brave face. The TV license inspector is coming to take your self-worth. Once you've reached a place of stillness, imagine yourself on a packed bus, and every time you open your mouth, Robbie Keane sneezes in it. Keep it closed now. A closed mouth doesn't catch any flammers. Breathe in through the nose. Why is Robbie Keane on this bus anyway? He's far too famous. Why isn't he the bus driver? Turn your awareness to the ground beneath you. That's where hell is. Seek comfort in knowing if you screw up too many times in this life, the devil will dine on you in the fiery depths of a satanic barbecue. As you breathe, it becomes harder and harder to keep yourself anchored to the ground, because Pat Kenny is grabbing your shoulders and trying to pull you away with him in his electric hot air balloon that he won in a battle rap competition. Resist the urge to fight back. Glide with Pat. Trust him. Know him. Let him guide you to safety. And whenever you're ready, bring your attention back to the room
and open your eyes. Thank you for joining me on this spiritual journey. If you've enjoyed this meditation, please follow me on Instagram at Meditations for the Anxious Mind and TikTok at Meditations for the Anxious. Namaste.
Well, that was the most mental thing I've ever experienced. And really enjoyable. I really like that. A lot of text coming in. I had to pull over. I was laughing so much. Somebody just said, this fella is a tonic. I've followed him for ages on Instagram and each video gets better and better. Frankie is so funny. I can't wait for Frankie's book to come out on Thursday. Is that
right? Yes, Thursday. Yeah.
Me and my friends all have it pre-saved. Keep it up, Frankie. Funniest fella on the internet. Funniest fella on the internet. And on and on. But you're like, this is deadly serious. You kind of actually really relaxed me there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That wasn't my intention.
Okay.
Do you like meditations?
Do you know what? I like certain meditations. I like music ones. I have a thing about breathing. When somebody tells me to breathe a certain way, I actually get really panicky.
Yeah. A lot of people get like that. Yeah. I think the reason why, and you're not the only one who said that my meditations are relaxing, I think it's because I lean into the uncomfortableness of it. Is that a word? Let's say it is. Again, it's not true, but it's factually, you know. Yeah, a lot of people say that because it's trying to be uncomfortable, that you're not under pressure to be relaxed.
Yeah, maybe
and then
I'll
you
like
get
that.
Relaxed.
I'd
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you like that too, The Toxic Travel Guide to Ireland, as you've never seen it before, October 27th, which is Wednesday, is that right?
It's Thursday, so
Two days' time. Frankie McNamara, will you come back and chat to us again?
I'd love to. Thank you for having me.
Good man.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.